to C3 Church Hepburn Heights. We believe Jesus Christ gives life to the full, and we are called to live it and share it. We pray you enjoy this message today.
Now, as we come to the end of this year, we're going to take another look. This is the last week of the series, Take Another Look. Pastor Jason, Pastor M have taken us through their taking of another look, and it's my turn to take another look. It's important that at this time of the year, as we come to the end of a year, and we're about to head into a brand new decade, that we take time to stop and take another look. Why? Because our vision in the moment can deceive us. When we see something in the moment or feel something in an experience, it could deceive us. And when we look at it again, when we take another look, we could see it in a different light. A different light to what we originally saw or experienced or felt. Here are a couple of examples on the screen now. Let's put the first one up. Have a look at this photo. Not that photo. Side screens. Look, there's just a boy with ridiculously big muscles. Take another look! It's not. It's a boy standing in front of his dad who's got ridiculously big muscles. Let's put the next photo up. There's a dog riding a bike. Take another look. That's ridiculous. Dogs don't ride bikes. It's just perfectly positioned to make it look like a dog's riding a bike. Let's have a look at another photo. Someone on a train looking, turning around and having a look at you. Take another look. It's actually a picture of a face on a magazine. Let's have another one. This is weird. It's a woman's body with a man's head hugging a man in a... Take another look! It's actually the woman hugging the man, and the man must just have a really long neck. And last one. I don't even know what that is. It is a dog's little dog's mouth in front of a lady's face. As we take another look over 2019, we may come to some key conclusions. Some key conclusions that can help us as we head into a new year and a new decade. As we look back, we may realize just how strong and resilient we've been. How strong and resilient we are. We may be reminded of what we can achieve with the help of God. We may become aware of just how much we've grown or how much we've learnt along the way. And as we take another look, we will hopefully see that God has been with us the whole time. And as we see God with us, thankfulness and praise and worship will spring forth. Romans 8:28. It's come up more than once in sermons that I've preached in 2019. It's going to be an anchoring scripture for us this morning. Romans 8:28 in the New Living says, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them." As we take another look at the year that has been, as we see the great moments, as well as any terrible moments that have formed 2019, we can be confident that everything, that all things, that every single moment can work together for good. Good can come from devastation. Good can come from disaster, from despair. Good can come from suffering as much as from the exhilarating moments. Why can we be so confident in this? Maybe the situation's dire for us. Maybe the hurt and the pain is just too much. When all we can see ahead is darkness. When we look within and realize that we're not enough, that we don't have the resources to be able to get through. Why and how can we be so confident that good can come? Because whilst you and I aren't enough, God is enough. Because Jesus himself said, "It is finished. And because God is working. God is constantly working. He's working to bring all things together, to finalize our hope, to complete the good work in us. Jesus has saved us. He is faithful to sanctify us as the Holy Spirit within transforms us into the complete likening and likeness of Jesus. He is working. He's working to use all and every situation we've experienced in 2019, whether good, whether bad, whether indifferent. He's using and working those situations for our good. God is involved. He's involved. He's a hands-on dad. He gets his hands dirty. He's willing to come into the grime, into the mess. He's not absent. He's not distant. He's not nowhere to be seen. Some might prefer a more deistic view of God. Deism is an ancient worldview that states that God created the universe and all living things, and then he took a step back and he's no longer involved at all. He's not personal. He's not present. He's not concerned about relationship. And this certainly fits well with our secular society. It most definitely fits with the laid-back, autonomous, no-consequences Aussie culture. No Heavenly Father to bring discipline or realignment or accountability or leadership. That might sound great. Party, freedom, we can do what we want. But as a consequence, it also means no Heavenly Father to bring love, to bring intimacy, to bring hope, to bring vision, to destroy sin and death, to bring peace, to bring the comfort that we so yearn for. I reject the idea that God is distant. That's not my experience. That's not what rings true in creation, in history, and in the human heart. This season, Christmas, is when you and I acknowledge and celebrate the birth of Jesus. Emmanuel, God coming near, right into the very center of a broken human existence. God is near. God is near. I also reject that human endeavor is the only reason for the true and lasting good things that you and I experience in life, because we are not enough. The good that you and I experience is a result of the work, the ongoing, constant work of an invested, involved, and intimate God. Ephesians 2:8. To 10 says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and that this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Our salvation is not our work, it's God's work. And then the good works that he invites us to join in with, he works to prepare and set up and get us ready for. God is working, and he works to use all things, everything. And our response to this scripture is very important. Ooh. It's very important. We have a choice to make. Will we allow him to work that painful experience or season of suffering or time of apathy or devastation or loss or lack or opposition? Will we allow him to work that situation for our good? In those moments of decision, fear is going to come. Fear is going to come knocking at the door of our hearts saying, run, run away from the situation, don't face it, run away from God, don't face him, he can't help. And I shared in January about Nehemiah, this mighty man who overcame so much opposition in order to fulfill his mission of rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem as the exiles return from 70 years of captivity. And he's copping hassle from everywhere, including the people who had remained in the land. They didn't like this idea of Nehemiah and the people rebuilding the wall around this rebuilt city and temple because it would mean less control and less power for them. And so they begin to threaten and they begin to intimidate Nehemiah and the people, and fear begins to rise. This isn't a great situation. This isn't supposed to happen like this. Fear is rising and tempting these people to give up, to throw it in, to run away. And this is how Nehemiah responds. Nehemiah 4:14. After I looked things over, I stood up and I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes." Nehemiah faced off fear and by faith implored the people to turn to God, not away from God, and trust that good would ultimately come from this opposition. And it did. The people responded, rose up, and the wall was completed. Let us choose by faith to trust that God is going to tenderly and lovingly use every situation, use everything that we have faced this year to mend, to heal, to strengthen us, to help us to overcome and ultimately bring good for us and those around us. God is working. God is working, but he's working to his timing. Done. This is the tough part, isn't it? This is the hard part. Maybe we've stood on a promise from Scripture, from God for years, and this year we haven't seen it finalized. Maybe in 2019 a relationship we really hoped would improve hasn't improved. A destructive habit was not broken. A dream was not realized. A health challenge was not healed. This journey of walking with God, of living this life, can at times seem like this unfolding labyrinth of dead ends, plot twists, and waiting. And more waiting. Doubts, stuff-ups, disobedience may have littered this year for us. Stagnancy and stilted momentum could have been commonplace. We may feel like we've got nowhere. We have taken not one step forward. We've gone around the same challenges time and time again, the same fears, the same slip-ups. We cannot allow, it's really important that we don't allow these moments to define us and define God. In June, I preached on Moses and the moments that mattered for him. He didn't allow destructive moments like him murdering another human being, the doubting moments like the people continually letting him down, or the moments of disobedience where he struck the rock with his staff so that water would flow instead of speaking to it. He didn't allow those moments to define who he was or who God is. He patiently endured. He overcame. He swallowed his pride and he saw a way to faithfully bring the next generation of Israelites to the verge of stepping into the promised land. Julius Caesar said this, "It's easier to find men who will volunteer to die than to find those who are willing to endure pain with patience." Many would know that Karen and I bought a house in April. It was the second home that we have bought together, but there was almost a 9-year gap between our first home and our second home. And during that time, we rented in Karrinup with a plan to one day buy the house that we were renting in. We felt like God was on board with this plan. We loved the area. The kids loved the school. We had a brilliant landlord. It was all looking good. We thought, yeah, maybe this is going to be a 1 to 2 year process max. In the midst of all this, God called Karen and I to step up in our giving to beyond. Oh, cool, yep. We can step up in our giving to beyond for a year. Turned out to be every year. But we wanted to be obedient. we wanted to put God first. We didn't want to just hear these scriptures that are preached about and actually not live them. And so Jesus is quoted as saying in Matthew 6:31-33, "Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." We kept trusting God. We kept giving what would be an accumulating house deposit into beyond. At the end of last year, 9 years after we felt God had ticked off on this plan for us to buy the house in Karrinyup, by a combination of hard work saving, which was a miracle in itself because I'm not a great saver, and also other incredible, miraculous provision, we're in a position now to make an offer on this house. Unfortunately, our landlord was not in a position to be able to sell at that moment. Initially, we were shocked. We were a bit kind of like, what is going on, God? We followed this. We stayed patient. We patiently endured. We sought first the kingdom. The doors were all opening. Surely this was going to happen. We're obedient. Didn't happen. Where do we go from here? Well, to cut to the chase, we ended up looking elsewhere to buy, and we purchased a home in Woodvale. Any Woodvaleites out there? There's three. That's good. Woodvale. It just sounds so nice. It's one of the 9 closest suburbs surrounding C3 Hepburn Heights. And in April, the same month that we bought the house, Karen and I were announced as the location pastors of C3 Hepburn Heights. Do you think that's a coincidence? No. Do you think it's perfect timing? Yes. You see, 9 years ago when we first began renting and had that plan to be able to buy that house in Karrinyup, there was no such thing as a location pastor role here. It didn't exist. Do you think it would be beneficial for a location pastor of a church to be living in and around the church's location? Yes. To get a heart, to get a passion, to get a burden for the suburbs and the people and the communities, right? And that's exactly what happened for Karen and I. And so as this convergence took place that we didn't even think of, that I've only just realized that this convergence has taken place, as this has happened, ideas and dreams and passions for these surrounding suburbs have risen up in our hearts. We've got a burden for these people. We want this church to count for these people in these communities. So Karen and I would drive around these communities. Every Monday, I pick a different suburb to go and prayer walk through. When it's 40 degrees, that's not fun. I won't name the suburbs that it's not really not fun to walk through, but I love all the people in all of these suburbs. Woodvale's the best. But this passion has risen up in us. There's a convergence that's taken place, and only God could have orchestrated it. It's a ridiculous thought for us to have been able to orchestrate that. God orchestrated it. God is working. He's always working, but he's working to his timing. As we take another look in 2019, let's see him walking with us. Let's see him working for us. Let's see him strengthening us in times when we were weak. Let's choose to trust that his timing is perfect. God causes everything to work together for our good. But guess what? God's idea of good and our idea of good are generally not the same thing. You see, we can be, in terms of seeing what we think is good, we can be influenced by a number of things, tempted by a number of things. We can be influenced by our feelings. Our feelings can dominate. They can be the driver when they're meant to be a passenger. The material, secular world around us can impact us to think that good, our good, is where nothing bad happens. Is when it's smooth sailing, a comfortable, easy life where we're not asked to stretch, where we can just believe what we want, live how we want, regardless of how it affects others. And with this view, when anything happens in our life that leads to, God forbid, a negative feeling, or we experience loss, or we experience hardship or challenge, we want to run. We want to run from it, and we want to run from God, or we want to shut down completely, because we can think that any experience or moment that isn't sunshine and rainbows, we can think none of those things can bring us any good. None of those negative experiences can be good. They can only be bad. But God's good for us is different. It's different to our perception of good, because He knows more. He's smarter than you. He's smarter than me. He knows more and He sees more. He sees eternally. I was about to say eternity, but he sees eternally. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declare the Lord." I know, not you, not me, I. God knows the plan for you. God knows. Isaiah 55:8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord." He thinks differently. He sees differently. He sees more. And you see, our fulfillment, our life to the full, our joy, our good comes not from this assurance that nothing bad is ever going to happen. It comes from knowing that God is with us through every circumstance and that He's strengthening us every step of the way. And so when we've gone through something this year and thought nothing good can come from it, let's ask another question. Is it our good? Or is it God's good that we're thinking of, that we're desiring? This year, Karen and I have had pretty much our most challenging season as parents. It's all good. They're still alive. They've still got clothes on. They're still getting fed. They're little punks at times, but they're good. All three kids at various stages have hit significant behavioral walls. There were some moments and some times where all three were hitting the wall at the same time. We're beginning to panic. What do we do? It's been pretty easy up until this moment. How do we negotiate a three-year-old going backwards in their toilet training where he or she, you guys know who it is. She keeps depositing a nasty something in her knickers every day for no obvious reason. What do we do when our older children's friends' voices begin to become louder and more important than our own voices? Leading to deception, to rebellion, to disrespect. What's the go when unhealthy emotional outbursts from more than one of our children is regularly happening, sometimes at the same time? You see, this just messes with that ideal of this perfect, happy family, right? This challenges the idea of coming home from work and being able to simply relax in our peaceful and orderly home. Because all of a sudden there's mess to deal with. Literal. In our eyes. In Karen's eyes and my eyes, we might think that no good can come from this season. Or that the good is that the kids are going to get told off, they're going to get disciplined, and everything's going to go back to normal. Militant. But in God's eyes, the good that has come from this is far more about us engaging with our kids at another level, hearing them, trying to understand them, trying. And for me personally, it's about me regularly saying sorry when I default to a quick solution, which is me getting angry and telling them off. And it's led us to go to God. Please, God. Give us wisdom. Karen and I are talking about our parenting more. We're getting on the same page more. We're communicating more with our kids. We're setting and resetting appropriate boundaries. We're being more intentional about making sure that our voice is in their worlds, that we're having the quality and fun family time together on a regular basis. And I'm also reading a book on parenting. I never thought at this stage I'd be reading a book on parenting, but my goodness, there is so much for me to learn. The good in this situation is not what Karen or I anticipated or planned. It isn't our good in our minds. It's God's good. And His good just has this eternal whiff about it. This whiff of eternity. His good lasts. Our idea of good, humanity's idea of good, it comes and it goes. It's fleeting. It promises so much and delivers so little. God's good backs it up. God's good backs up the promise. God's good is eternal. God's good is lasting. God's good can be trusted. And so what situation or experience this year, can you, when you take another look, can you see God's eternal good all over it? In a little while, we're going to have a moment of reflection, and it's going to be an opportunity for us all just to think back on this year and chat with God and see some of the situations in another light and pray and wait on Him. Last point to make on Romans 8:28. All things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. Here, Paul is not addressing two people, those who love God or those who are called according to His purpose. They're one and the same. Those who love God are called according to His purpose for them. Can I just have water, please, Karen? Got something in my throat. Thank you. Can we give Pastor Karen a hand? That was very well done. Very obedient. We love... Sorry, I didn't see that. You have to do it again. Sorry? Oh, you threw that at me. Did it hit me? Sure. Those who love God and are called according to His purpose. We love God out of response to His love for us. We love God because God first loved us. God went all the way for us. He gave Himself as a sacrifice for us. We love God out of response to the extending of His loving nature to us. He brought us in. He brought us in. We were outsiders and He brought us in. He invited us in and brings us in to experience the perfect love found within the God the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And that is what we celebrate at Christmas time. God, motivated by love, coming into the dirt, into the sin, into our despair to bring freedom, to bring life by bringing the kingdom of heaven and overcoming sin and death. Motivated by love, He first loved us. Jesus, He came as this vulnerable, helpless baby. But from frailty came this strength and this power and this hope that the world has never seen. It meant that the sinners, it meant that the outcasts, it meant that those who were on the outer, the forgotten and the downtrodden, pretty much all of us, that we are all welcome, that there's a seat at the table, that we're loved, that we're set free. And if in 2019 we feel forgotten, we feel downtrodden. We feel like an outcast, a sinner, someone who's stumbled too many times or we've not reached the heights that we would have liked. It's okay. Take another look. God has been there all along, calling us, inviting us in, wanting to experience His incredible love that no one can take away. That nothing can take away. He's reminding us of our value, of our purpose. And he's doing it again right now. He's inviting you to come near. Let him in. Let him in. Let's respond to his love. Let's make a choice to love him, to put our trust, our hope in him for what has been and for what's to come. Because we can be confident that he is working everything together for our good.
Thanks so much for joining us here on our podcast. We encourage you to let this word further help you live and share the life to the full that Jesus gives. If you want to check out more about our upcoming events, service times, locations, or to give online, go to c3hh.com.au.